Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Is that your Diet Coke? Sweet. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa. Paul has just popped up and opened a fresh can of Diet Coke, so this one is going to be crackling.
That's right. We're fizzy. Waking up.
Yeah, we're doing it a little early today because I got to bust out and go to New York for the live Come to Papa tomorrow night on Halloween special.
Already?
Greer Barnes, Dove Davidoff. Yeah, because we do it monthly. And it's the 17th. I'm not coming back before then.
No, Tom, you can't have a Halloween show and just say special. It has to be boo-rific or spooktacular or some kind of a bad pun on.
You can't just say a Halloween
scary word. Tom Papa's Scaratorium.
Ooh, I like that. I'm gonna post that on Twitter right now. Scaratarium. That's a tough one.
What's the one that they do a Simpsons Halloween episode? It's called something. I forget what it is.
Don't they change it up all the time? Spooktacular?
I forget what it is. No, it's the house of... Isn't it like about a Halloween or haunted house or something?
You know, I was just thinking that our podcast should be called I Forget What That Is. So many times we're like, who's that guy from that thing? Who's that person?
Better now with Wikipedia, but...
I'll call it the Spooktacular. Spook-tac-u-lar. All right, it's going out there. It's been branded. Are you ready?
All right.
Send. Oh, boy, there we go. We just made a Spooktacular. Good to see you, everybody.
Treehouse of Horror is what it's called.
Every year?
Yeah.
No.
The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror are the Simpsons Halloween specials.
Oh.
Because we have Boney Island in Studio City,
which
North
has been
Hollywood.
Closed down.
What?
Yeah, they're not doing it anymore.
No.
That's what I hear.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is the guy from The Simpsons. He does Boney Island, which is he takes his whole front yard and he makes it into a little amusement park filled with characters. Skeleton characters.
Little?
It's not a big yard.
No, but this thing is like, it's a huge production. There's like thousands of people walk through his yard every day.
Which is the problem. People started saying that they have to start getting licenses. It's gotten too big.
Yeah.
So they've got to start doing stuff. Well, according to this, it says it is open today from 6 to 9.
Yeah.
So this might be the last year.
Right. It's definitely open because I know somebody who, I think it starts October 1st. So somebody I know either went by or saw them building it. It's really cool.
It's very cool. I mean, he basically, you know, creates a top-notch attraction right in his yard. And it's very popular. People go and see it. It's, you know, fun to take the kids. You know, when they get a little older, as my children are, they're starting to check out with some of this stuff.
Yeah, they can't be seen liking it too much because it's not cool.
Well, it's interesting. Like, my youngest hangs on to it the most.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, I'm going to be trick-or-treating into my adult years. But even her, I can tell, the life just starts piling up on you. You start getting busy. She's got a lot of work. She's got all of her activities. Doesn't have time. Last night, by the way, this is we had an assignment, not only for ourselves, but for our listeners, to watch Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Right.
And with my travel, the kids' stuff, we have not had a minute to do it. So we did it last night.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter skipped her homework, her math homework, to do it, which now she's paying for. And my other one couldn't even do it because she had to write a paper. And we sat down and we watched it. I was tired because
yeah.
I flew in from Denver yesterday at 7 in the morning, got picked up and taken right to a pumpkin patch
where we
did all of that. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then, so I was tired. My wife has this cough that won't stop. It's just like we're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little bit like you're hanging on to
forcing it.
The good times. Not to say we don't have good times, but this was our only window. I'm leaving again today for a week.
It's yeah.
Just, you know, it's just, it was a little rough. But the Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein. Again, you know, when you're tired and cranky, maybe things don't play as great. They're amazing. They were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they do is hilarious. But it also, last night, for some reason, played very old comedy.
Right.
You know, sometimes comedy is just like, you know, someone walks up to, someone says something insulting, and the guy's reaction is, he accepts it, and then realizes it, and then, oh! Like,
yeah.
That kind of thing. There was so much of that, that I was like, for the first time, I was judging the old Abbott and Costello on our new comedic terms, which is not fair.
Well, I feel like the whole thing was like kind of what Scooby-Doo turned into. It's like kind of like a basic idea, and then there's a lot of chase scenes and a lot of people being chased by a ghost that they don't know they're being chased by a ghost, but you can see it.
Yeah.
And
right, exactly. Yeah, the Dracula was literally standing right behind mm-hmm. him. And he's talking. It's like, you know.
Wait till he figures out that Dracula's behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, supposedly that movie was a bunch of their best vaudeville bits, too.
So there were some of them, yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like Adam McKay, you know, Will Ferrell movies, usually kind of like Anchorman's, like a lot of sketches that are kind of together to be in one movie. And that's how that is kind of
It definitely, there were a couple times you're like, oh, this is a stage act right now,
right,
that they're doing just in the thing,
which is good. I mean, that they tried to transition like what their act was,
because
that's what made them funny. But
yeah, and all this being said, forcing it, Abbott and my cranky critique on the jokes, still good to do. You still should do it. Break out the stuff, do the things, even if it's going through the motions. You should participate in the event of the season, the event of life. And, you know, this year, I'm into it more than the kids are.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes.
I know. The one big thing with that, I bet, and I'm still trying to figure out if this is cool yet,
mm-hmm.
is when I was a kid, I remember if something was in black and white, that was no good.
Immediate. I can kind of get them to hang in a little bit, but there's something to the black and white to a kid that's been raised on color that just makes their brain shut down.
Yeah, and I still have that, but I was wondering if this is the first generation that might see it as, like, retro and cool, because if you saw something in black and white, like, I remember the whole time, remember they were turning Wizard of Oz into
color
and all these movies into color, and everybody got mad, and mm-hmm. then I was like, that's the only way anybody under 20 is going to watch it, is if it's...
I know. It is. But you know what? Those kids are morons. Our subscriber list keeps growing. Our fans, as all of our listeners know, if you go to patreon.com, you can subscribe to the podcast. You get bonus material. You get sourdough bread sent to you. You get to come see our shows. It's a good way to support us and help us get funding for a real-life producer and to get Paul some new pants. We thank everybody that subscribed so far.
Yes, thank you.
You can go to patreon.com/cometopapa and sign up. If you go to tompapa.com, you can see all of my tour dates. I am cruising all over the place. Like we said, tomorrow's the big spooktacular in New York City. Then I'm doing Prairie Home Companion. I'm appearing on that this Saturday from St. Paul. And you can hear it at 6:00 Eastern.
With Randy Newman.
The great Randy Newman is going to be on the show. It should be a doozy, a real humdinger, which is the name of Paul's new stand-up special.
Yes.
A real humdinger, which, what are the details on that?
We're coming out, it's going to be streaming in, I think, the middle of November.
Okay.
So I'm putting clips up and getting people on the mailing list. So go to paulhasawebsite.com. And I'll be in Toronto this week.
Nice.
Absolute Comedy Club in Toronto, and then Flappers Comedy Club in Claremont next week.
Sweet. So we're all over the place. We're coming to Loveland, Colorado, Colorado Springs, Modesto, California for my big birthday show, Monterey, California, Wilmington, Delaware, Glenside, Pennsylvania, Cleveland, Boston, all through next year. So
yeah, we're hitting, I figured out we're hitting at least 1,000 people a weekend in person. So
will you please look into online?
Mm-hmm.
A card that we can get made for the Come to Papa details that we can hand out to the good people when we see them.
Yes.
These thousands of people. That'll be your assignment.
Okay.
You're on it?
Yeah.
You have it?
I
can do it?
I just want artistic control of it. I don't want you to say that's we're using... I don't want to use Times Roman. That's a stuffy font for us.
I will give you complete creative control. You can make it. There should be a giveaway for all of our fans when we see them. And I think... I give it all to you. Our top secret podcast for our subscribers, people have been listening to, and we give we will be doing that again today after the show, where we will be talking all things fun entertainment. And also at the end of this show, as we did last week, our first edition, we're going to tell jokes.
Jokes.
Jokes that we found. Street jokes that people are always saying, you're a comedian, tell us a joke. We're going to do that at the end of this show. Thank you to all the good people in Denver. That was a good time.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was really fun. We had great shows there. Good people.
Comedy Works.
Comedy Works in Denver, and we got to eat at the great Yanni's Greek restaurant, which
yeah.
was so good. Oh, my God. That guy's got it dialed in. Older Greek guy sitting at his high top. He's got his BlackBerry from 1998 and a couple other devices. My greatest moment was watching him, and the place is busy. It's been open for 21 years. Watching him, he's what everybody wants to be when they open a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the vision of, I like when people come over. I'm good at hosting.
Yeah.
I make good food. I'm going to open a restaurant. And then the business of it takes over, and you end up not doing any of that stuff. Yanni does it. He just sits there confidently and hosts, and people come in, and he talks to everybody, and he gives you ouzo. And the greatest moment was when someone at the table next to us, I don't know if you noticed, asked for some kind of a martini, and the kid didn't really know how to make it.
Mm.
And Yanni was just sitting there, and as he was talking to us, we were talking about baseball, and he was like, well, yeah, they got a man on first, you know, you got to run in this situation. Put the vermouth over the ice. And then you've got to throw a curveball at that point. Now dump the vermouth out, keep the ice, put the vodka in. Like he was
it's working the room.
To be. Yeah, like if I picture myself owning a restaurant, I want to be that Yanni guy.
Yeah, that was like what's the other it's probably a bad analogy. Tony Soprano being at the strip joint, but but it's like,
yeah,
you know, he was in charge. Like when they ask you how your food is, he actually knows what you ordered and wants yeah. to make sure that the guy's doing it right and has suggestions to what to actually eat. You know, he said like if you like chicken, you know, he laid out a bunch of stuff because Greek, like I told you, there's a record number of K's in the Greek menu. And
Spenica Jacobia.
Most of them are five-syllable words with a lot of K's in it, so it's hard to figure out. It's intimidating if you don't know what all the stuff is. Because you know what you like with that stuff, right?
Yeah, for the most part. There's some Greek traditional dishes I'm a little ignorant about.
Like, I know what spinacopita is. That's the one that people usually order the most or is most familiar.
Yeah,
Isn't that how you say it, or no?
How'd you say it?
Spinacopita.
I think it's spanakopita.
Spanakopita. And heroes. Is that Greek?
Euros, yes.
And they use a lot of grapes. That's what I know.
A lot of grapes. It's so good. The food was so fresh and good. It was just amazing.
Yeah, that was great. And then we ate the breakfast place for the first time. I had chicken and waffles.
Yeah, that was two days in a row you did like an animal.
Yeah, that's why I don't like breakfast, because it's kind of heavy. I know you like it because you use it for the whole day. I like to ease into the day.
Traveling
yeah.
and we're out late, like we didn't get to go eat late night,
mm-hmm.
I woke up and was hungry. But for the most part, I haven't been eating that much breakfast when I'm home and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need that much.
Yeah.
I do agree. I think, like, if you do go big at breakfast, you're probably not going to go to lunch.
Yeah. It's like, and it's also, I don't know how good, like, to just pile on, like, a bunch of pancakes. Like, I don't think there's that much energy in that, right? Like, I really do believe, like, if you have one of those juice things with, like, 9 fruits in it, it's probably going to give you more energy than, like, a stack of pancakes or, like,
absolutely,
a giant bagel or a bun.
Yesterday, when I was flying out of Denver, I was so hungry, and I was like, I'm not going to eat. I got to go to the pumpkin patch. It's going to be a long haul right now. You know, this is 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm already like, all right, let's go time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but I am going to find a goddamn bagel. I'm going to just take a big-ass bagel filled with cream cheese and stuff it in my fat face to start this day off, and I'm going to let that ride me. And it did. It got me through the whole thing.
Yeah, and that is the worst airport as far as being laid out anywhere.
Because you have to take the tram?
You don't even have to. Did you not know that? No, you don't.
What?
You can walk across the bridge. You don't have to take the tram.
Oh, you can walk it?
Yeah. It's
to all the other terminals?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
So far, though.
No, mine was A. So it's like, basically, you walk into this, well, first of all,
Denver Airport. Out near Fort Collins, the middle of nowhere.
The rental car place, it might be 20 minutes away from the airport. It might be.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's that far. You take the bus for about, so you got to add an extra half hour just for that.
Nothing gives me more anxiety than having to return a rental car at any point. The worst is when you're with a bunch of people. Like if you got your whole family with you and you got all your luggage. If it's not easy, there's nothing worse. I could have 2.5 hours before my flight comes and I'm dropping the car off. There's no way I'm going to be late. But sitting with your luggage and your friends waiting to be picked up by a shuttle bus.
Yeah.
Oh, my chest is tightening as we speak. I need some baby aspirins.
It is the worst. And then you get to that airport and they make it look like it's a casino being built in progress. You know, like you see those tent casinos that like they're already making $1 million, so they're like, we're gonna build this other wing while we have one poker table open because we're making so much money.
Yeah,
so it has that, and then there's actually the tower inside the tent, like the people who are keeping track of whether the planes crash or not are in this tent. So then when you go in there, it's just there's 3 different security things and you got to figure out which gate you're going to.
Yeah.
And then I asked the lady, I was like, I'm going to A. Where's the quickest one for that? She's like, well, if you go downstairs, you got to take the train, but you can just walk right across here and then you're there.
What?
Yeah.
A whole different security and everything?
Yeah, it's different security. So,
oh my God.
And that's
I had no idea all
for
these
each
years.
One.
What jackass.
Any place that you have to take a tram is just.
You
got
to go
mistake.
Down to like the depths of hell on this escalator that never ends and get on a little monorail Disney train and shoot you all the way to the other place.
Yeah, it's
and
like
then take another gigantic thing up. The only thing good about this route is when you do come up, there's an Einstein Bagels waiting for you.
Well, that's the other thing, too. You get there, and then there's like 9,000 people at Starbucks, and then there's 1,000 people at the McDonald's, and then there's like
two
kiosks.
Oh my! One because it's an addiction, and one because it's cheap.
Right,
right. You're traveling with your family. You're busting out. You can get a whole breakfast for your entire fat family for $7.
And then
Starbucks, you can get one coffee for $7, but it'll take care of your caffeine addiction.
Why don't they have more food at Starbucks? Like, I would even go there if they had a decent bagel. They just have those
little
rolls.
Their bagels suck, but their sandwiches are pretty good.
Are they?
Those little English muffin, bacon, egg sandwiches and stuff. Yeah.
Seems like they put all their money into the coffee, at least.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I'm so addicted to coffee that just us starting to talk about coffee makes me want coffee. I literally, just in that split second, I thought to myself, and this happened so fast, it's literally happened in a sliver of a second, all of these thoughts. I thought, oh my God, coffee, Starbucks. I'm traveling. I'm flying today. I can get one at the airport, but I won't. That's a long time. Maybe I can get some coffee from my Nespresso right now. Should I press pause? No, we should just keep going. Well, all right. I'll just get that coffee later. That all happened in like, that's like a heroin addiction.
Yeah. That was, I just watched like a little piece of Pulp Fiction last night.
Yeah.
And they had that big, you know, after they kill the guy in the back of the car and they got to clean the car.
Yeah.
And Harvey Keitel gets pulled in.
Yeah.
And Quentin Tarantino's like, he's like, and I go and get coffee. I get the good coffee, not the cheap stuff. I like the stuff that's good. I like really good coffee.
Yeah.
That's what you're sounding like right now.
That was before his time, before the coffee craze. Oh, I love coffee so much. Just a nice hot cup of coffee.
When did that happen that everyone just decided they wanted better coffee?
Starbucks.
Really?
Yeah. Starbucks did it. They were like, we're going to take more time with this. Before that, everybody was just drinking it out of styrofoam cups.
Yeah.
Like liquidy, awful, hot water, not much to it. And Starbucks made it darker and richer and gave you like the real essence of it and more powerful, jacked up caffeine.
Yeah.
Not manipulated, but just the depth of it. And that was it, baby.
Yeah, the people, remember they used to, you get it at like high school football games or like McDonald's, it would just be like some silver thing. It sounded like it was just burning water.
I know. But you know what? When we were in Portland and we were driving on that freeway and we pulled over to the rest area, which was so, I mean, Washington State, you pull into a rest area, they have trees like you've never seen
it's
before.
Beautiful.
So beautiful. In a gross rest area where people are just having sex with people they shouldn't be. And there was a thing at that trailer, free coffee.
Right.
The Pacific Northwest loves their coffee big time because it's always so damp and cold.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, all day long. And they had just like a regular old-timey coffee like you were talking. Remember, I came back to the car.
Yeah, the silver styrofoam canister. Cup.
Yeah, just out of the canister. It wasn't good coffee, but it was still so enjoyable. Ah, such a treat. Wow, I can't believe you can just walk across. I had a great thing. I don't want to bog the whole podcast down with our dumb travels, but, you know, I signed up for that clear thing that you see at the airport.
Okay, yeah.
It's not just TSA pre, it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to, and I was like, all right, I didn't get TSA pre on this flight. Let's see if clear is really going to work. Man, oh man, the line was enormous.
Yeah.
Thousands of people. I went up, put my fingerprint on the clear thing, went right up to the lady. Someone meets you and walks you over to the agent who checks your license and takes the boarding pass. And I was through.
Well, do you have to show them your eyeball or something? What do you have to do?
they scan your eyeball and they take your fingerprints on the screen.
Right.
So when I walk up, I just put my fingerprints on and then my picture pops up with all my information and I'm clear. And they just sent me through.
That's cool. So do you have
you
that?
Still got to go through.
How long do you have it for?
I think a year.
A year? Yeah.
I think it's a yearly subscription.
Okay.
Yeah. But man, that otherwise I would have been in hell. I would have been stuck at the ass end of Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
Oh, but that bagel was sweet. Oh, a nice hot bagel with cream cheese. Just sat there, ate it with sesame seeds falling on me. I'm so tired. I didn't even get coffee because it's so early. I want to sleep on the plane.
Yeah.
I just was sitting there with a grin on my face, cream cheese on the corner of my mouth and my lap and belly just covered in sesame seeds. Oh, I was so happy.
That is the thing that never quite figured out with any of those bagels is like the poppy seeds and the everything bagel.
Yeah.
And it's like all this stuff is just going to come off all over the place.
Yep.
So
it's going to be a big mess. But oh, the stuff that does get in your face, so delicious.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but I just wonder how they were like, oh, they'll stay on. You can just roll it around. And
man, when you don't eat stuff for a while, it really becomes something special.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you're down in bagels all the time, which I did for years in New York, it's not that special. It's just mm-hmm. what you eat. And now that I don't eat it that much because I'm making my bread and, you know, I don't want to eat tons of other stuff like that. Man, I hadn't had one in months. It was such a treat.
Well, it is that thing about a good habit. Like my habit at those airports, because we're always getting up at 4 in the morning,
yeah,
is to go to Jamba Juice and get like a good, like, I forget what the heck it's called. They don't name their stuff right. Some kind of red flash something.
Like a big green drink?
Somebody knocking on your second-story window?
It sounds like someone's trying to get him.
Oh, there's a bunch of people over there. Somebody's losing a lot of money today. There's like 9 plumbing trucks in front of one house.
Oh, my God. That doesn't look good. Poor bastard.
It's like the money pit.
Let's just hope it doesn't come over to my side. Jesus.
Maybe your bamboo is seeping over.
There's nothing more hopeless. There's never a more hopeless feeling when you don't know what the problem is. Mm-hmm. It has to be fixed. And this guy with a van shows up and he's going to fix it. Oh, boy.
He brings another van over.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Kevin Pollak tells that great joke. When he was here, I actually had a plumber coming over to look at something. And Kevin was here for the podcast. And he said, yeah, this is how you know you're in trouble. When a plumber's looking at the problem, looking at the toilet, and you hear this. Joe, you want to come take a look at this? And you know you're screwed. When they call in the other plumber. Hey, Joe, you want to come take a look at this? Oh, no. Now they're going to talk to each other, and I'm going to be out thousands of dollars. Son of a hoo-ha. I can't wait for our joke segment.
Yeah, you got some ready?
I've got one good one that my daughter gave me.
Oh.
It's a good one, though. You're going to like it.
Okay.
It's small, short, stupid, and it's funny. And you know what was on Twitter, what people liked the most? They liked the dead baby jokes last week. They were into those. So everybody is freaking out still. The Harvey Weinstein thing continues to reverberate through our culture. They are going to start gunning for everybody who's ever slept with anybody else in Hollywood, which is like saying we're going to attack anybody that's ever played football in the NFL. You know what I mean? It's just such a sordid mess.
Yeah.
All of these super attractive and super desperate and super powerful and super rich people all getting together in one world. There's a lot of banging going on.
Yeah.
So this is going to get messy. There's going to be some people that are justifiably called out. There's going to be some people that are going to get caught up in it who shouldn't be.
Right.
It's going to be... But don't you feel it?
Well, and it's also become this political thing, too, that, you know, like Harvey Weinstein is supposedly a Hollywood liberal guy. He did it. I mean, he did all these fundraisers.
Yeah.
And... So all the Trump people say, hey, you won't criticize Harvey Weinstein. He did all this crazy stuff. And then Trump is on audio saying things just as bad about grabbing the Access Hollywood tape and all that kind of stuff. So it's like you have two guys, they're both evil dudes, and then people are making that political somehow. Like, they're both scumbags.
Yeah, I know. I like how, right, so if you
just
watched
a movie...
Just
because he's a Hollywood guy that we're not going to pick on him? No, yeah. That doesn't.
And if, like, you watched a movie that he made, then you're at fault, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Republican, then you're at fault for what Trump does. It's just like, you know what? These are just disgusting people acting disgusting.
You shouldn't have anybody.
No one else is involved.
Yeah.
Nobody else should catch any guff. Nobody should. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's like, you know.
You can't control another person's sexuality. People have a hard time controlling their own sex lives. You can't then control some guy who you had a meeting with once or even worked that closely with.
Yeah. And that's why it's such a, you know, it's such a thing now where people don't even want to deal with that. Like when you're, you know, people always dated people that they worked with because that's just how it was, you know.
Yeah.
When I was working in news business, all the anchors were either dating or end up marrying each other, or, you know, it was always something because you're working with these people 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's going to happen. So,
especially as a director and an actress and an executive, anyone that can like make your dreams come true,
yeah,
you're in trouble. Just here now, I'm looking online. Bjork, the singer Bjork, says she was sexually harassed by a Danish director.
Right.
So you know what I mean? It's gonna, anyone that's ever had an encounter of any degree, this is going to be a thing for a long time.
Well, that's what I mean. There's no doubt most of this stuff happened, but there's also
there's also people sleeping to get roles. Also people that are hitting on those guys.
There are people that sleep their way to the top.
Yeah, I totally would sleep my way to the top. There's never been an opportunity where I could have slept with someone to get on a television or a movie role.
Yeah.
It never happened, but I would have done it. I'd make out with you for a supporting role. I'll give you a massage at the Peninsula Hotel.
Well, even on that cruise I was on, the cruise director was dating one of the Russian dancers. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure that's not something that's going to last, but it's good. It's good for both of them while they're on the boat.
Oh, my God. It's all
that being said, if there is somebody that's making that into like a power play that like, oh, if you don't do this, then I'm going to fire you. Obviously, condoning any of
look,
that.
I don't think our listeners think that anything but our support for taking down these horrible people that abuse men or women. If someone is being abused and through power, we don't have to explain it. Our people know that. That being said, Paul, you can't do this podcast anymore with your shirt on. Paul is being harassed.
That's one of the
on the podcast.
That's one of the big rules in like for all the sports. The cheerleaders are not allowed to date any of the players, like because the players are millionaires. The cheerleaders, I think up until a couple of years ago, didn't even get paid.
Yeah,
Joe Buck ended up marrying like an NFL cheerleader. So that's some kind of power play, right?
Everything's power. Everything's a mess. Sex, it's such a mess. You don't want to dive into people's sex lives.
You know, I did notice almost every actor ends up marrying the makeup artist. Did you ever notice that? There's like five or six really famous, like Bill Murray, I think, married a makeup artist.
Right.
Like, anytime that you're like in a chair for 5 hours.
5 hours with someone who looks like they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Treats you nice.
Yeah. We should get a makeup person for our podcast.
Yeah. I remember when you were doing Boom, you had like five girls dressing you and telling you you look good and doing your hair. And it's like, how do you not fall in love with that?
I'll tell you how. You get so annoyed by these people touching your face. You're just like, all right, already. How much makeup do I need to host a game show? Leave me alone.
I
don't want to
look like I'm in a wax museum.
I have a big problem tonight. I will be on a plane at the exact time that the New York Yankees are playing in the third game of the ALCS. I will be on an airplane the entire game.
Now, do you have internet?
Our Yankees are down 2 games to none because of a Lilliputian who plays for Houston. Altuve, who is 2'4", is dominating the New York Yankees.
Yep.
And we are in big trouble. But this might be the final 2 games, and I'm going to miss them.
Well, the thing is, they're... So it took a lot out of them, I feel like, to get to this point. They won the playoff. They, you know, all that
kind of
stuff.
They're exhausted, yeah.
But
they played tough.
Yes, and they might be young and stupid enough to not know any better and just play out of their minds the next couple games. You never know.
They totally can. I mean, they did it against the Indians, and they're going home tonight.
Right.
This is all going to be very exciting. It's all great stuff. I watched the Dodgers last night. You went to the game?
We didn't go to the game.
What?
The ticket snafu. We had tickets for Saturday instead of Sunday.
No.
Yeah.
And when did you realize this?
when the guy, there was another guy who went, yes, he went to the ballpark and on Saturday. No, he went on Saturday, and when he got there, because this is for like a sports organization.
Right.
So they had a bunch of tickets for Saturday and Sunday, and they asked the people which one they wanted to go to. So I guess the lady screwed up and gave people the wrong days. So
what a bummer.
Which that's like thousands of dollars, man. That's a hot ticket in
that's
LA.
A hot ticket. I was excited knowing you were there. It makes it more exciting to watch. Something about watching an event and knowing one of your friends is there makes you more into the event.
Because it's really hard to see, like, our buddy Ari's trying to go to one of these games in New York. Because, like, a lot of times you've never gone to a playoff game. Like, I don't think I've ever been to a playoff game.
I know. I could have gone today if I had changed my flight and all that other crap, but I couldn't do it.
I went to one giant playoff game once, and that I still remember that. That was great. Like the year
it is
they,
more intense.
Yeah. Did you watch the Giants, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
I totally didn't watch them because I was like, they're going to get crushed.
Yeah. They ended up playing out of their minds, of course.
Of course, and it screwed up my pool. I am in such bad shape in my pool. I now have realized that there's no way I'm going to place in this year, unless I go on some crazy run. I just have to win 1 week to pay for my costs of getting into the thing. That's all I need.
Well, for me, in my eliminator pool, the Cleveland Browns did what they did do best, and they lost yesterday. So I am now the last man standing in the eliminator pool.
So you won?
Yep. I'm the only one. Nice. I think Jim Florentine was the last guy left.
Wow.
And so I'm 6-for-6.
You got to find out what you get.
Yeah, it was like an autographed football last year, so I got to figure out if it's maybe I'll get like a Robert Kelly signed DVD or something.
Lucky you.
We should thank the cigar people too, right?
Oh, yeah. The great people from Denver's Robusto.
Robusto, yeah.
They dropped off cigars for us on Saturday night.
Yeah, they came to the shows.
Yeah, those guys are the coolest.
That's the best. That's cool when we're going to like these towns every year and you're starting to see like the same people, and it's kind of neat that way. Because we don't have that day-to-day work environment. So when we see like Jeff once a year, it's like...
Yeah, it's like our coworkers. Hey, is there a way that I can watch the... I'm going to be on American Airlines. They have that great entertainment system, but it's all movies and recorded TV stuff.
If they don't have live TV...
They don't.
Sometimes they do. But if they don't, your best option is if you get the Sirius app and listen to the radio.
You can listen to the Sirius app in the air?
If you have the internet, yeah.
Yeah?
It's not strong enough to stream anything, but you can listen to the radio.
Ew.
I've done that a couple times.
Oh, man. What a bummer.
Yeah. So when do you land then? Well, you never know with these games. 12:45. Oh, really?
12:45 New York time.
And you're leaving here when?
4:30.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I guess that's the whole game
at
almost.
That's 7:30 I'm leaving. And first pitch will be at 8. And it will be over by midnight. And I will be walking through baggage claim.
Well, you never know with these guys. They've been playing like 7-hour games lately. We talked about that one day. It was like... That 11-inning game was just all day.
Yeah, exactly. You could have flown back and forth from New York to L.A. Do you know that... did you hear this little pet story?
Pet story.
You're thinking about getting a pet, right?
Every time I meet somebody who has a dog, it convinces me not to.
I thought you were going to say it does. It makes you want to. Starting next year, I think, any dog or cat or rabbit that you buy in California has to have been rescued.
Oh, okay.
There will be no more breeding animals and selling them in the state of California.
Oh, wow.
Is that interesting?
That is interesting, but it also, it seems stupid to buy something that was rescued from a store.
Like they should just give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Rescued is going to now be stolen. All the pet stores are going to have to steal dogs.
Well, no, their overhead's going to be nothing because the the places will be like, here's 20 dogs, and then they'll sell them for a couple hundred bucks each.
Because pet stores are one step removed from the breeding of the animals they sell, store owners rarely know the breeding conditions of their animals. In many cases, puppy mills house animals in overcrowded and unsanitary conditions without adequate food, water, socialization, or vet care. Opponents of the measure argue that the bill painted large puppy mills and responsible backyard dog breeders with the same broad brush. They're saying, like, we're good breeders. That's, you know, that would be a good job, like, if you were to really just breed, you know, Labrador retrievers, and you do it nicely in your home, and you sell, you know, 10 a year, you probably make a pretty good living, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think people do that, right? Yeah. You looked at that, didn't you?
But now they're saying no good. You've got to get your... Nothing you see in a pet store. Well, that's good, though. It does take all the question out of it. Because you always look at these dogs in the pet store, and you're like, yeah, but where'd they come from? Which I always kind of thought was strange because, all right, so it came from some place that's not that cool, and they abuse them, and the conditions are awful. But you're still looking in the eyes of this living creature.
Yeah.
Who needs a home. So I should say no, I'm not going to... You're just... Because you came from that, you're going to... not be able to enjoy sitting on my couch?
Well, there's a reason that people know what kennel cough is. That's
yeah.
That's the... I think
my wife has kennel cough right now. She's been coughing for 2 straight weeks.
Well, that's my concern, is that these stores aren't going to be able to keep the dogs that healthy still either, you know?
My dog threw up yesterday. It was the... I think the worst smelling thing I've ever smelled in my life. God bless my wife. She went and cleaned it all up. I was in the middle of pretending to work on my laptop. And she went down and cleaned the whole thing up. And she's very thorough, does a great job. It smelled downstairs for the rest of the day and night. I mean, ridiculous. I don't know what came out of this animal.
What'd she eat?
I have no... Well, I don't know. Some bamboo, maybe. Oh my God!
Too much fiber.
I saw the great. I went to the pumpkin patch yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I got off my plane. Like I said, went straight. My kids, wife, and kids picked me up. We went straight up to meet our friends at the pumpkin patch. About a 45-minute drive up near Thousand Oaks, his farm up there. They do a great job. Thousands of people.
Yeah,
a gold mine, as my father would say. This guy's sitting on a gold mine. And they do a great job. There's tons of pumpkins in this giant pumpkin patch. There's tons of food, bluegrass music, tractors. I mean, everything. They do everything right. It was a lot of fun. We got to see some good friends we hadn't seen in a while. It was all good. You want to guess what the highlight of this festival was for me? And always is?
The coffee.
Ooh. Do you think they had coffee? I didn't get any coffee. No.
You made it through without...
I had pumpkin pie.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
For breakfast?
Yeah. All I had was that bagel, and then when I got there, I had a piece of pumpkin pie and didn't eat the rest of the day. No. Pig races.
What?
Oh, yeah, baby. Pig races. They take these pigs. They put colored bandanas on them, signifying the purple team, the blue team, the red team. And they run around a track. And you scream, your section screams for your pig. And we saw victory. Do you want to see the video?
Yeah.
Here you go. It's in slow motion. Our pig takes the front. You got to yell and scream. And the bleachers are packed with people. And this little pig runs around.
Oh, it's in slow motion?
Yep. I hit the slow-mo because I knew it was going to be dramatic.
And then there's the guy that's egging them on.
Yeah, they yell and scream to make them go. The pigs look like they're enjoying it. They look like they're having a good time.
They're just flopping around.
Is my pig made the jump yet?
They're just coming around the corner. It's funny that their ears flap more than I thought pigs. I didn't think pigs had big ears.
Yeah. They got big ears.
And oh, man, they're jumping.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's our pig. That's the purple pig.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He almost buried his nose in the dirt.
Yeah, it turns out when a pig jumps over something and it has to land on its front legs, it's...
There's not a lot of flexibility there.
No. There's a lot of weird angles. So that was me. I went from... and I was dressed like still in my like show clothes. I'm like in all black and sitting there with all these hillbillies watching watching pigs run around. So funny.
That's great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. The one thing that wasn't so cool was that Bella's coming home. Was that all the people we were with a big group. Everyone's eating hot dogs as they're watching. As they're watching.
They're, just to remind the pigs to run faster.
Yeah, exactly. they were running like crazy. Hey, Bella. Hey, thank you. Hi, Bella. How was your walk? Bella just went for a walk with her friend. Come here, Bella. Come over here, Bella. Come over. Did you have a nice time? This is when she gets walked. Is the best part.
Yeah.
She's going to be passed out in 5 minutes.
She's breathing very heavy.
Go get some water, Belle. Oh, poor Bella. Yeah, so pig races, dude.
That's crazy.
I say you should do it.
Yeah, that's seems like you should go into that instead of picking these NFL games. What was the pig's name? Do you remember?
No, they didn't. They're just purple.
Oh, man. That's a whole... That should be a whole thing there, just the naming these racing pigs. That's got to be a comedy event.
Are you ready for the joke segment of the show?
I have. Let's see.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not as
excited as you are.
We're
going to our new
segment.
As we go about our lives, everybody's always asking us, you're a comedian, let's hear a joke. You're a comedian, let's hear a joke. And we don't normally have them, so we figure if we do it here, maybe they'll stop asking. And they're also kind of fun to tell. I'm going to have to say you're going to have to start because my joke is pretty good.
Well, this is a whole thing. When you're a kid, there seems to be there's a lot of science jokes that you come up with for some reason.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of two atoms walking into a bar kind of thing.
I like that.
Remember this one?
Two atoms
walking down the street, they run into each other. They say, one says, are you all right? The other says, no, I lost an electron. He says, are you sure? I say, yeah, I'm positive.
Nice.
They're terrible.
But
you remember telling those in like... I think it was the science teacher trying to get kids excited about science. They would always...
I don't remember these jokes at all. I don't remember science jokes. Do you want to hear some of 10 things that sound dirty on Halloween but aren't?
Sure.
So, what'd you get in the sack?
I don't know.
That's it. It's just one line. That's the dirty thing that isn't dirty.
Two blondes fall down a well. One says to the other, isn't it dark down here? She says, I don't know. I can't see.
Another dirty thing that's not dirty, that sounds Halloween thing that sounds dirty, but it's not. Quit screwing around on the porch. Oh, that's terrible.
Here's a bank joke. Another math joke. I lost my job at the bank on the first day. A woman asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over.
How do you make a dead baby float?
Oh, I don't know.
One scoop of ice cream and two scoops of dead baby.
What?
These are getting bad.
Is that your new...
That's not my good one.
You're wasting time on your book. You should write the dead baby joke book of all time.
I wonder if there is one.
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
And you'll definitely get a
dead baby joke book.
Yeah.
Don't steal that, guys. What's worse than a barrel of dead babies?
I don't know.
One at the bottom that's still alive. What's worse than that?
I don't know.
He has to eat his way out.
He does? Is that part of the trial?
These are so bad.
Yeah, this is... I gotta say, I'm not... Yeah, I'm not confident in this. I did watch a bunch of because I think we're talking about how Norm Macdonald does take the street joke to like the next level.
Yeah,
and has all these these terrible. He'll tell a story and then use like a street joke for the punchline. Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah,
we got to work that into our act. I tried to sue the airport for misplacing my luggage, but I lost my case.
Oh.
That's bad.
Good Lord. That is so bad.
I think this is a Rodney Dangerfield one. My doctor called me fat. I told him I wanted a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too.
Oh, God.
Isn't that Rodney Dangerfield? That sounds like it.
It sounds like it. All right, you want my good one?
Yeah, is that the point of this? Are we supposed to tell bad jokes? Or
no,
we
I think if we
can
get
ones?
A good, you just got to tell them.
We're too jaded as comedians to.
All right, I'm going to read a joke before I get to my good one. I'm going to read a joke that I have not read before.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it. This mm-hmm. is like a. This isn't a one-liner joke. It's a joke. Okay. A little boy walks into his parents' room to see his mom on top of his dad bouncing up and down. The mom sees her son and quickly dismounts. There's always these jokes of kids walking in on their parents.
And way too much setup.
Right. The mom sees her son and quickly dismounts, worried about what her son has seen. She dresses quickly and goes to find him. The son sees his mom and asks, what were you and dad doing? The mother replies, well, you know, your dad has a big tummy, and sometimes I have to get on top of it to help flatten it. You're wasting your time, said the boy. Why is that? Asked his mom, puzzled. Well, when you go shopping, the lady next door comes over and gets on her knees and blows it right back up. That's pretty good.
I almost like the bad
I like
jokes.
Reading it. I love reading yeah. it and not knowing what it is. That is pretty fun. Like having no clue what it's going to be. You want to read one?
I hate. Yeah, this is a really bad pun joke.
Oh, but you read it. You know what's coming.
It's too short. Rest in peace, boiling water. You will be missed. You get it? Missed with a T?
I got it. I'm going to read another one that I have no idea what's coming. A young newlywed couple wanted to join a church. The pastor told them, we have special requirements for new parishioners. You must abstain from having sex for 2 weeks. The couple agreed and came back at the end of the 2 weeks. The pastor asked them, well, were you able to get through 2 weeks without being intimate? Pastor, I'm afraid we were not able to go without sex for the 2 weeks, the young man replied. What happened? Inquired the pastor. My wife was reaching for a can of corn on the top shelf and dropped it. When she bent over to pick it up, I was overcome with lust and took advantage of her right there. You understand, of course, that this means you will not be welcome in our church, stated the pastor. That's okay, said the young man. We're not welcome at the grocery store either anymore. This is bad.
I keep thinking it's going to turn into a Harvey Weinstein joke.
Bad.
Here's another bad pun one. How does Moses prepare his tea?
How?
He brews it.
He brews it. Oh, my Lord. My Lord.
That's why people hate pun jokes.
I don't understand why people don't understand why we don't carry these jokes around in our head. Why would we keep these in our head?
Yeah, it's but that's the thing, is you hear it and it's like what is it? Corny, I guess, would the word be?
Corny's good.
But sometimes I like those jokes. Sometimes,
yeah, I was laughing at the tummy one.
Like when someone tells us a bad joke after a show, especially if they think it's really good.
Yeah.
And that's, you're like, no.
Yeah. And the guy's looking at you like, no? All right, joke of the week. You ready for the joke of the week? Because I'm confident that
Your best one? Okay.
Yep, given to me by my daughter. What do you call... What do you call a, wait, hold on, I'm going to screw it up. What do you, oh, okay. Why did Sally fall off the swing?
I don't know. Why?
She has no arms. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not Sally.
Not Sally who?
Not Sally. She has no arms. She can't knock.
That's the that goes with the one you should tell her this one. So she has no arms, that's the thing?
Yes. Why do you call a girl that falls off the swing? I mean, why did Sally fall off the swing?
I don't know.
She has no arms.
Okay. So this
Why did Sally fall off the swings? She has no arms. Knock knock. Who's there? Not Sally. Not Sally.
So can we change this joke into Sally.
Okay.
So Sally, who has no arms, has a birthday present. What did she get?
What?
I don't know. She can't open it.
That was it. That was joke segments of the week.
Here's my last one.
Okay. Oh, bonus.
This is all right. What is Mozart doing right now?
What?
Decomposing.
I don't get it.
He's a composer.
Mozart?
Mozart.
Mozart.
Mozart. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
I thought there's a Z there.
Yeah, but it's pronounced Mozart.
Mozart?
Not Mozart.
Like Mozart?
I thought you said Mozart. I was like, I was going to say who's Mozart, but I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the joke. Mozart.
Mozart.
No. Mozart.
How do you say it? Moats. Like a moat?
Like matzah. Mozart.
Like a Mott's applesauce?
Yeah. What? Tell the joke again.
What is Mozart doing right now?
What?
Decomposing.
That's pretty good. And it's Halloween-y. There you go. And if you subscribe to the show at patreon.com, you will get more of this hilarity with the bonus material that we do every week.
If you actually have good ones, let us know on Twitter.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Or message to us on Patreon.
Yeah. Someone will give me a couple quick tweets before we leave. Comedy Works was so good. Tom's Ralphie May impression was awesome. I'm glad I asked that. Yeah, some guy asked about Ralphie May.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I told a story about when Ralphie May... The last time I saw Ralphie May was I performed at the Comedy Store, and Ralphie was in the back. And I came off the stage, and another comedian was on being really dirty and not doing very well. And by the time I got up to Ralphie... He's like, Tom Papa, you are so goddamn funny. You're not even dirty, and you're killed out there. And all these, and look at what's happening right now. No one's laughing. You are so goddamn funny, Tom Papa. And I was like, Ralphie, shh, there's a show going on. No one cares. This is awful. So great. So I told that story at the thing. Michael Ochinero said, I just watched you on off-camera interview. That's on DirecTV that I did with Sam Jones. He said, I feel like I know you. Mom says you should call more often. A lot of plugs of people saying come to the live show at the Village Underground tomorrow for the Halloween Spooktacular. Kristen Thomas said, haven't laughed that hard in a long time. Nice to know I'm doing fine. Thank you, Tom Papa and Paul Morrissey at Commie Works.
Oh, that's nice.
Kim Frisch said, pants are off, Tom Papa. You look so dapper tonight at the Comedy Works. My face hurts. Wet myself. Can't wait for your special, Paul Morrissey. Heart.
That's great. We didn't meet her, I don't think, right? She's the one, she messaged us a lot.
Yeah, and there's also someone, one of our subscribers who actually got a bread was there.
Oh, really?
And we didn't see her either. I didn't come out because it was so crowded. So we had all these sold-out shows. So I didn't come out and hang with people in the early shows. So maybe they were on the early shows.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Well, on Patreon, what's going on there now? Are you making breads? Do you have to do anything this week?
Yeah, I owe some breads, but I'm not going to be here to bake them. I got to leave the guard dog.
Just leave it to me. I'll put together a little. Can I just use your yeast and I can learn how to do it in a day, right?
It's the most disgusting thing you've ever said to me.
I can do some. Popping fresh. That's what I can just start mailing people breads and saying it's yours.
Yeah, it should be Paul's bread and Tom's bread. For $5 a month, you get a Paul bread. And you get a nice little biscuits? What are those popping fresh?
I have microwavable hot pretzels. I'll send you one of those.
Yeah, those are just in a Ziploc bag. Thanks for joining the Come to Papa family. So funny. And I also got a lot of play. I did the Never Not Funny podcast, our good friend Jimmy Pardo. And apparently I sound a lot like one of the co-hosts of that show.
Really?
Yeah. People kept saying that. But he has a very good podcast. He's a very funny person. It was fun to go do that. All right. Very well, nice. That's it, guys.
Yeah.
Have a great week. We're going to put this one out today. You're going to get it early. Everyone's going to get it on Monday because it's going to be a little insane with my travels.
Right.
Listen to Come to Papa. Listen to Prairie Home Companion on Saturday. And look for Paul's new special. And that's it.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life. Eat some goddamn candy. It's Halloween.